top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global, only on Q95, the big station, Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Good morning, this is the morning news for today, Friday, March 8th, in the headlines. Social scientist Simeon Joseph laments the unfortunate occurrence of Haiti facing another major crisis, notably marked by recent upsurges in violent incidents in the country. On International Women's Day 2024 today, United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres called for increased investment in women in order to expedite global situations. And Kelly Smith and her boyfriend, Jacqueline Apollis, along with two others, faced charges related to Smith's six-year-old daughter's disappearance near Cape Town in South Africa. The news is brought to you compliments Rudolph Thomas Enterprises.
Rudolph Thomas Enterprise in Portsmouth, your suppliers of building materials and hardware products. Over 20 years experience in the business. Rudolph Thomas has lumber and plywood, Portland and tile cement, steel rods, galvanized and fenced pipe, and Rudolph Thomas can meet all your wire needs. Galvanized roofing sheets, doors, windows, toilet sets, face basins, and bidets. PVC piping, fittings, and lattice. Check out Rudolph Thomas for ceramic and vinyl floor and wall tiles, nails, nuts and bolts, paint and painting supplies. And check out their line of electrical and hand tools. And Rudolph Thomas is your one-stop shop for hard-to-find items like fiberglass mat and fiberglass resin and welding rods. Go now to Rudolph Thomas on 1240 Bay Street in Portsmouth. Rudolph Thomas Enterprise in Portsmouth, your suppliers of building materials and hardware products. Over 20 years experience in the business. Rudolph Thomas has lumber and plywood, Portland and tile cement, steel rods, galvanized and fenced pipe, and Rudolph Thomas can meet all your wire needs. Galvanized roofing sheets, doors, windows, toilet sets, face basins, and bidets. PVC piping, fittings, and lattice. Check out Rudolph Thomas for ceramic and vinyl floor and wall tiles, nails, nuts and bolts, paint and painting supplies. And check out their line of electrical and hand tools. And Rudolph Thomas is your one-stop shop for hard-to-find items like fiberglass mat and fiberglass resin and welding rods. Go now to Rudolph Thomas on 1240 Bay Street in Portsmouth.
Social scientist Simeon Joseph expressed dismay at Haiti's reoccurring crisis, particularly noting the recent surge in violent incidents. He criticized CARICOM's apparent abandonment of Haiti, citing numerous pronouncements and announcements made without tangible follow-up actions. Joseph also expressed dissatisfaction with the way Dominicans speak about and treat Haitian citizens.
First of all, we have to know that Haiti has been more or less abandoned by CARICOM for many years for the simple reason that many pronouncements and announcements have been made regarding CARICOM. We know that in the time of the departure of Jabrestan Aristide and the leadership of Leslie Manigan, I don't know if any remember that famous Haiti leader, Leslie Manigan, who was there in the interim from the departure of Aristide. Mm-hmm. There was a very strong influence of CARICOM in and as well as the United States under the leadership of Jimmy Carter, at the time the Jimmy Carter Foundation, to try to bring stability to Haiti. These pronouncements and announcements have been made before. What surprises me, and we have to give this clear and focused attention, what surprises me is this has been said over and over and over, and we know that the CARICOM government, they have even special heads of government conferences on Haiti. I am one person who is often very conscious and aghast at the way Dominicans speak of Haitians, because they are our black brothers and sisters. A lot of Dominicans are very demeaning and condescending mindset and offer very derogatory utterance about Haitians in Dominica.
Joseph raised concerns about the lack of Haitian consulates established by CARICOM governments sent from CARICOM to Haiti to promote greater bilateral economic cooperation between CARICOM and Haiti.
How many CARICOM countries have ambassadors to Haiti? There are many Haitian citizens in every Caribbean country. How many Caribbean governments have established Haitian councils in their country or sent individual ambassadors from the CARICOM to Haiti to ensure that there is greater bilateral economic and social cooperation between the Caribbean countries and Haiti? Haiti has a lot to offer. I've been to Haiti about 6 times. Haiti has always been in turmoil for years, okay? And the turmoil in Haiti cannot be seen from what is happening now. Let us not forget that Haiti, for years, hundreds of years, had been made to suffer because of the fact that they were the first black country in the Western Hemisphere to overthrow a European superpower. And let us not forget that after the Haitian Revolution, Haiti was made by France to pay almost 70% of its income every year for over 300 years to France. And so Haiti was saddled and burdened with that financial and economic debt to pay back France because it took its independence.
And that was a social scientist Simeon Joseph. President of the Dominica Freedom Party, Johnson Boston, highlighted the multiple groups and political factions have united to collaborate with the Electoral Commission. Their aim is to develop a comprehensive electoral reform process that caters to the needs of the people rather than serving the interest of any specific political party. Boston stressed the importance of electoral reform in ensuring a free, fair, and effective methods for selecting a government and emphasized its crucial role in the country's democratic system.
Various groups and political parties have come together as an effort to work with government, work with the Electoral Commission, to see how, as a people together, we can arrive at a comprehensive electoral reform process that is suitable to our needs as a people, not suitable to the needs of Freedom Party or UWP or Labour Party or any party, but suitable to the needs of the country, because of course, to elect leaders to govern you, to represent you, to speak on your behalf, to get salaries, to travel and to be ambassadors on your behalf. Of course, the system needs to be fair. Fair so that everybody who went to school and want to participate in the electoral process will not feel hindered from doing that. It will be open for them and so on. So we are doing some things. We're taking some initiative to build on the requests we have made for us as a people, as a country, to be collectively collaborating in the interest of reform. So the Electoral Commission should not be afraid to engage us. The government should not be afraid to engage us, because you're government today and you feel you're major and you control, you're in charge. You may be nothing tomorrow, and you have the same say in what matters for the country, and you should be allowed and respected.
Boston indicated that several letters have been dispatched to the Prime Minister, President, and Electoral Reform Commission, awaiting their responses. He emphasized that engaging in discussions with these officials is the approach that the ERC is adopting moving forward.
So we're putting a few initiatives together, and we will report on those to you at some other time. So when I say we, it means the Freedom Party, the UWP, the Rosa Park, the NJAM, the Electoral Reform Coalition, and all of these groups associated. The idea is to come together, because we see reform as all of us business, and we must be in it. And quickly here, those right. So there's some initiative we're taking. Letters have gone out. We're waiting on reply from those sources. We have written to the Prime Minister. We have written to the President. We have written to the Electoral Commission. And we're waiting on a response so that we can move. Because we want to show the country that we're not on the road just shouting. We want to sit down with the leaders. They're in government, yes, we recognize them as the leaders in government, right? And therefore we can sit down with them, the leaders, and have civil discussion on matters of national importance. And so we're waiting on this. In the meantime, we are planning for an outing, that's the Electoral Reform Coalition, and an outing in Grand Bay, the 17th of March this month, 17th, Sunday afternoon from 4 o'clock. And we were in Grand Bay on Sunday gone, and a number of people from that community are very much willing, ready, and interested in getting involved to ensure that we come to them as well with the message of reform, the education of reform, the sensitization of reform, so that as a country, we all can be talking the same thing for the good of our country and more so our future generation.
Johnson Boston, president of the Dominica Freedom Party. Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerrit has drawn attention to the enrollment of several Dominican students in U.S. universities, noting a trend of criticism towards the government when tuition fees are unpaid. Skerrit revealed that the government's debt to Midwestern University has decreased from $3 million to $489,000, which will be settled within the next 2 weeks. Additionally, he stated that over the past 7 years, the government has disbursed $14 million to Grambling State University.
We have students studying overseas in an unprecedented manner. Hundreds of our students studying universities across the world. And then when we owe a little money, people talk. But when we pay the money, nobody talk about it. We were owing Midwestern $3 million. As we speak today, we only owing them $489,000. And in the next 2 weeks, we'll pay them the $489,000. And we shall owe Midwestern not one black cent. And you know how much money we sent to Grambling State University in the last 7 or so years? $13 million US. Cash, Dominican money, into the US economy, educating our children. And Dominican now, this is why sometimes the place is so hot, because we have so many degrees in Dominica. And when I became the prime minister of this country, there was no nurse with degrees or teachers with degrees, except a few who would have studied and gone to the secondary school or the teachers' college. Now degrees walking over the street of Dominica, everywhere, degrees. Not only one, but two. Not only two, three. And many of these people, they owe nobody because the government gave them a full scholarship to study.
Mr. Skerrit claimed that upon assuming office in 2000, the Dominica Labour Party administration conducted a study which revealed that 44% of students who took the grade 6 national assessment examination at that time progressed to secondary school, while 65% did not pursue further education.
And when we came into government in 2000, because some people forget history, but it's important for us to read and to remind people. When we came into government in 2000 and we did a study, only 44% of the students who studied common entrance at the time went on to secondary school, which means that 56%, 5.6 out of 10 children, did not make it to secondary school. And not because they were not bright, not because they didn't pass the exams, but before you start the exam in Dominica, the ministry knew how many students they were going to accept into the school. We stopped that. And we set ourselves a target in 2002 to achieve universal access to secondary education by 2007. And notwithstanding the fact that we're in the middle of an IMF program, we achieved this objective, this goal, in 2005, two years in advance of our deadline. Because we front-loaded the investments in additional space in the secondary school and increased the number of teachers we had in secondary school. And when we came to government in 2000, only 7% of students who sat the CXE exams went on to the state college, or the CIFOCO. It means 7 out of 100. It means 93 out of 100 students never made it to the college. And how could you build an economy? How could you empower people? How could you eliminate and eradicate poverty without children having opportunity to education and skills training and development?
Prime Minister Roosevelt's character, Senator Delbert Parris, highlighted the National Youth Council's initiative last year, which aimed to break down the government's budget for youths to understand. He emphasized the importance of such initiatives, stating that they should not be overlooked or underestimated. Senator Parris expressed his beliefs in the youth's ability to hold the government accountable, citing several instances where young individuals have raised their voices to address the country's challenges and demanded accountability from the government.
One thing happened this year that I don't want us to miss. The young people, the National Youth Council, took it upon themselves to go through and read that budget document. Not the nice speech by the Minister of Finance, but the actual estimates. Where's mine? It's somewhere else. The actual estimates. They went through it and they were able to challenge the government from a youth's perspective, looking at what was done and what was placed in the budget for them. And I commend it. That's the role of young people. Young people are not as misguided as they seem or pretend to be sometimes. Maybe they do in today's day have a shorter attention span and they get distracted easily. You know, all this dopamine that we have, we soaking in every day on our job and at our homes. It's a lot of light and fanfare coming into our eyes all the time. But young people have the capacity to hold their governors accountable. And through the National Youth Council, you saw them doing that. But Mr. G, more than that, if you listen, if your ears are to the ground, you look at social media, in recent times, you have seen a number of new voices coming out and holding the government to account.
Senator Paris also emphasized the importance of aligning the aspirations of young people with practical knowledge and skills, allowing them to take control of their future.
What we need to do is to marry that amount of desire and concern with actual insight and education, and most importantly, access. Access to resources, access to information, access to training. That these people, these young people, who are intelligent enough, who have gone to school, who have the world at their fingertips every single day, that they can take charge of their own future in their own country and succeed. You have productive sectors where you heard the minister in recent times, you know, again, a lot of political expediency talking about certain things. And to be honest, you can't blame them, right? Their areas of strength is where they will try as best they can to shine. But their areas of strength does not necessarily translate to good governance. Talking about that individuals should create multiple streams of income for themselves and so on and so on. And it is a good idea. But somebody else should say that, not the minister.
Opposition Senator Delbert Paris. In other news on International Women's Day today, United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres emphasizes the strides made in the fight for women's rights over the past 5 decades. Guterres acknowledges the significant progress made by women and girls in breaking down barriers and challenging stereotypes, leading to the recognition of women's rights as a fundamental human right worldwide. Despite these achievements, Guterres highlights ongoing threats to gender equality, with billions of women and girls facing marginalization, discrimination, and violence. Guterres notes that global crises significantly impacts women and girls, excavating existing inequalities. He warns against a backlash on women's rights, fueled by conflict, climate disasters, poverty, and hunger, which threatens to reverse progress. Guterres also highlighted the negative impact of new technologies, which, despite their potential to address inequalities, often perpetuate bias and violence against women. The Secretary General called for urgent action to accelerate progress towards gender equality, stressing the importance of political ambition and investment. He urges increased public and private investment in programs to end violence against women, promote decent work, and enhance women's leadership in various sectors, including digital technologies and climate action. Guterres emphasizes the need to support women's rights organizations and challenge harmful cultural norms, advocating for a significant increase in funding for these initiatives. And the mother of a 6-year-old girl who went missing in South Africa since February 19th has been accused of human trafficking and kidnapping. Kelly Smith, along with her boyfriend Jacqueline Apollos, and 2 others faces these charges following their recent arrest.
A South African court charged the mother of a missing 6-year-old girl with human trafficking and kidnapping. Kelly Smith was charged along with her boyfriend Jacqueline Apollos and 2 others following the disappearance of Smith's daughter, Jocelyn, in Saldanha Bay near Cape Town. The accused appeared in court on Thursday, with a large crowd outside chanting for Jocelyn's safe return. Wendy Davids, a local resident, is urging everyone to help to look for the missing girl.
We ask the world, the whole South Africa, the whole West of Cape, Paluan people, come to Saldanha and help us to look for that child.
The prosecution alleges that Mrs. Smith instructed Mr. Apollos and another accused, Stefano Van Rijn, to sell Jocelyn to a traditional healer for 20,000 rand, the privately owned Citizen newspaper reports. According to local media, Jocelyn went missing while playing outside her home in Middle Post informant settlement on February 19th. Jocelyn has not yet been found, despite a massive search operation involving the Navy, sniffer dogs and drones. Police said the search for her was continuing. This is Regan Allen, a police official.
We are one step closer to ultimately finding Jocelyn, or what actually happened to her. And today is very significant. We have noted the two particular charges in terms of human trafficking, but also in terms of kidnapping that was on the charge sheet. And we sincerely trust that the investigation will now unfold in terms of what has happened. But we are still keeping hope alive, knowing that we are wanting to ultimately find Jocelyn unharmed.
Smith and her co-accused have been remanded in custody until the 13th of March, when a bail application will be heard.
That's the morning news, and here's a recap of the headlines. Social scientist Simeon Joseph laments the unfortunate occurrence of Haiti facing another major crisis, notably marked by recent upsurges in violent incidents in the country.
Q95.
On International Women's Day observes today, United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres called for increased investment in women in order to expedite a global situation. And Kelly Smith and her boyfriend, Jacqueline Apollos, along with two others, faced charges related to Smith's six-year-old daughter's disappearance near Cape Town in South Africa.
Only on Q90.
The news was brought to you, compliments Rudolph Thomas Enterprises.com. I am Phyllis Valman.
Q, top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global, only.